book of Ephesians. I appreciate so much the liberty to be able to preach, which for me are things that are for mature audiences only, not in the sense of having filthy things or wrong things to say, but things that a lot of people are just not willing to deal with. Even so-called mature Christians who've been saved for a long period of time and been in churches, when it comes to anybody to have the audacity to question whether or not they are doing right, it doesn't really take much to see, you know, a dispersion of the individual say, "Oh, I don't need that. Somebody else needs that." But the fact of the matter is that we live in a day and time where most people that create the great divide and there's a departing don't depart because of the actual preaching of the Bible. They generally depart because they have a problem getting along with people. I don't know why it is that we're known for tolerating people at Walmart or at the gas station or wherever else we might do business, but when it comes to church, we seem to change our standard somewhat. It's almost as if we're looking for a reason to get out. I didn't always get along with everybody that I worked with, but I didn't quit going to work. And I didn't go to the boss every time I didn't get along with somebody and say, "Well, I don't like them and I'm not getting along with them," and that kind of a thing. You learn to do what you have to do to get the job done that you're required to do. When it comes to church, it seems to have changed. I had the privilege of having some lunch this afternoon with some younger folks, and we were just discussing things, and I explained to them that in the generation in which you live, you are now in the generation of, say, 35 and under, has now had long enough to be trained and taught that church is something other than what church is. Church is a social club. It's not where the Bible's preached. It's not where you get under conviction. The modern generation has been raised that church is the answer to your marital problems, the answer to your financial problems. They promise you all kind of things as long as you make sure you're putting money in the plate. And the younger generation, the upstarts, the ones that are the movers, the shakers, and those kind of things, are the ones that are facilitating things for the big youth ministry. Nobody's preaching the Bible much anymore. Nobody's definitive on their doctrine anymore. Nobody's definitive on what's right and what's wrong anymore. There are a few individuals that preach a little bit of pants and pork and stuff, but that stuff's so tight you can't hardly breathe in that. There's just this constant impression. Here's the great thing about what I'm preaching to you, that the Bible says you can't tell where somebody is by what they wear, because what we're talking about is things that can only be seen by God on the inside. And so that means that the most mature of anybody here, I mean, obviously you think, "Well, the preacher must be right with God. Look at him. He's got on a shirt and tie, and he's up there preaching the Bible." And then God looks at him and says, "Oh, man, you got no idea. I got him here because I need to teach him some things, and so y'all have to be the cadavers." You can't tell. I'm hot too, Jess. Is it just me? Who else? Anybody else hot? Hallelujah. Somebody else is hot besides me. Little AC back there. Suddenly, as if by magic. All right, Ephesians chapter number 4, we'll pick it up in verse 25, and then we're going to continue on where we were. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. We are members of one to another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We talked about that this morning. Now, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. That seems to go without saying, but it's tied to another part of the verse. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him do what? Labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Father, we'd ask now that you might help us as we continue on with our study. We pray your blessings upon what we're about to undertake to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, you want to be careful, and we're going to get back down here. I won't probably get there tonight, but I will get there Wednesday night, about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And that thing has to do with what we talked about this morning in the church service. It had to do with the fact that a lot of times corrupt communication can be done by simply amening or condoning somebody propagating something that is untrue. Meaning that you can put your crowning approval on, here's a good one for you, it just comes to mind. Let's say somebody posts something on this thing y'all do on social media, Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat or whatever, and all you do is become the vehicle that adds your authoritative touch to it by agreeing with it, when you may not even know all of the details that went on and why that person, but it facilitates your argument, or here better still, it is against somebody you're against. So no matter whether they were wrong in coming to the conclusions that they came to, because it facilitates your feeling about the individual they're writing about, you post an absolute or an amen or a, well, you give them a thumbs up thing or something like that to say, yeah, I agree with that. Well, they just hooked you up. Because you don't know the whole story. All you know is whatever it is that they posted. And now what you just did was you might have condoned them in doing wrong. But because it backed up how you felt, you put your 2 cents worth in. And now you don't realize it. But you have not only become accountable to the person that you're against, you've become accountable for justifying somebody that did something wrong, even though it might have come out the way you thought it would. That's evil communications. That's not good. Don't you know the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners, and they will increase to more ungodliness. In other words, when we get into that stuff, it's going to be a little bit of a Bible study. You say, why? Because it continues to propagate itself. It's the one or the two things in the Bible that will continue to have long-lasting repercussions if the Bible's right. Now, you know me, I believe the Bible's right. When he said they will increase to more ungodliness, then they will increase to more ungodliness. You can't stop it. Where did it start? It started with communication, but it doesn't stop with communication. It begins to have an impact on your life. How you live, what you do, your actions become more than just words, and it begins to have an increase in those things. And we'll talk about that when I get around to that. But you want to be careful about participating or propagating that lie. You want to be careful, even if the lie is something that sort of shades the truth a little, but it kind of backs up or supports your feeling about something, to not be persuaded by your own feelings and get pulled into something. It is not right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. Amen. It is not right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. If you can't get them the right way, a lot of years ago now, I get in trouble sometimes. I was told, you know, you tell those police stories, you know, people might be upset with you about that. Listen, I was a policeman 40 years ago. That was a whole other life and stuff. And stuff that went on back then, it doesn't happen. The statute of limitations is over anyway. But I never did stuff to people. I give you the impression I was some kind of a bad guy. I was a real nice, sweet, very soft-spoken individual. And I just, you know, I was a punching bag. I was one of them dummies. You hit me and I'd come back up again and those kind of things. But when I tell you stories about... you might not want to propagate that lie. But understand this. It's just used as an illustration to try to help you to more clearly see what it is I'm talking to you about. I had a guy that came in one time, and we were trying to catch this particularly bad individual, and he was kind of wanting to cut some corners. Now, I know you think that's what everybody, all policemen do. If they want to get somebody, they'll do whatever they got to do to get them. But that, believe it or not, that ain't what really happens. There's laws and all kind of stuff in the way of being able to do that. It won't fly like you think it does. It ain't like something you see on TV. You get ready to do that, you ain't got enough strings to tie for a conspiracy big enough to be able to do it. Well, maybe if you live in Chicago, you might. But at any rate, this guy came in and he said, well, here's one of the things we can do. And Sergeant, I was just a detective at the time. Sergeant sitting there and so on and so forth. The lieutenant came in and he says, well, we could do this and this and this. And one of the guys says, that's kind of entrapment, isn't it? And he goes, well, no, it wouldn't be entrapment. He couldn't be entrapped if he wasn't doing wrong and all that stuff. And the lieutenant at the time stood up and he said, now, guys, here's the thing. The guy's a bad guy and he deserves to go to jail. There's no doubt. And to be honest with you, I could care less if you buried him 6 feet under. But we're not going to stoop to their way of doing things. We're going to get better at what we do and do it the right way, so that when he's caught the right way, and you can hold your head up high when you take it to court. So if I find out that any one of you guys participated in that kind of stuff, I will fire you on the spot, and then we'll take it up with Civil Service Board and everybody else later on. I'm not having that here. And I thought to myself, because the temptation is that this guy is so bad and you want to get him, that, you know, under the circumstances, it's all right to do wrong, like you see on TV, like a Charles Bronson thing or something. Well, there's another one. Do y'all even know who that is? No, you know, no. You don't even know who Mighty Mouse is, so I, you know. Or maybe you do now. No. Anyway, I have no idea who's an Avenger nowadays. But Charles Bronson, you know, it's okay to do wrong to get a chance. No. As a Christian, it's not right, and as a Christian in the business world, it's not right. So don't get the impression that somebody got you, so it's okay to do wrong to get them hooked up, so long as they wind up getting pulled into the limelight. It is never right to do wrong, even if it is to get a chance to do right. You don't justify. The Lord, find for me a place where the Lord ever did wrong to do right. You can't find it. He won't do it. He's going to do things the right way all the time. That's what I love about him. I can know when I go to the Lord, every time I can know where the problem is. It'll never be him. That's a great thing, man. I always know where the problem is. I don't have to work at identifying the problem. I come to the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, I just want to talk to you." "Yes, well, I got a problem." "You sure do." "And it's not me." "You're right, Lord, it's not. It's me again." "When's that going to change?" "When you're dead." "Until then, you're going to struggle. Nice talking with you." You ever get that before? The Lord doesn't play around. I never have to worry about it. "Now, Lord, I'm kind of wondering about this. You kind of didn't handle that right. I might not agree with it, but I know it's right. I might not understand it." Now, when it comes to this thing about working and him that stole, steal no more, it has to do with working to supply your needs and supply your family's needs and also to supply the needs for the Lord. The preacher asked the deacon one time, he says, "Boy, let the church roll on, let the church roll on, and we need to get the church to do this." And the deacon says, "Amen." And he says, "We're going to let her walk. Boy, amen, preacher, let her walk. Boy, that'll be a blessing. Amen, preacher. Well, we're going to let her run. Yeah, amen, preacher. Boy, one day she's going to take off. Let's take up an offering." And then the deacon said, "I'll let her walk, preacher, let her walk." Take your Bible and come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, back up. Let's go to Proverbs. Let me show you a couple things about working. Working is an important thing for kids to learn. Teaches them character. It teaches them the value of money. When it comes to working, ladies and gentlemen, it teaches you that there's more to work than meets the eye. It's important for you to work. You say, why? Teach you the value of money. Teach you about having character. I got a note from a girl yesterday, a young lady that I know pretty well, and she said, "I hate waking up in the morning and having to work." She's working a couple of jobs and stuff. And I said, "Well, it takes character to work a couple of jobs." She's a young girl. She's in her 20s, and she's struggling, trying to make ends meet and stuff like that. And she was told to get another job, and she did. But she gets off of that job at 10 o'clock at night and got to be at her other job at 8 o'clock the next morning. All I said back to her was, "Welcome to life." Yep. You say, what is it? That's life. That's how it is. If you want to get ahead, you're going to have to work. You got to have character. You got bills to pay. Well, don't obtain a bunch of bills and stuff you can't pay for. Kids, if I could give you any financial advice, and I'm not a financial advisor, and I'm not going to tell you how to make money, I can tell you how to keep it. Don't spend it. How's that for financial advice? You want to get wealthy? Keep the money you got. When you make money, don't be in a hurry to go spend it. Don't go buy a $150 pair of tennis shoes when a $25 pair will do you just as good. It may not have a name brand on it, but it'll do you just as good. All you're trying to do is keep your feet from getting blisters on them. You're not trying to make a statement with your shoes. Well, I mean, unless you're a woman. A woman's got to always make sure, you know, that you see whoever it is that made her shoes and stuff, you know, Jimmy Choo or whoever it is. Why are you laughing? With socks like that, you can laugh, I guess. Whoever heard of wearing an all-black suit and wearing red socks? Mr. Waters would have that. But when it comes to working, ladies and gentlemen, all relax. He's picking on him again, you know. He's big enough, he can take care of himself. I can tell you this, don't get a credit card. You say, why? Well, ask some of these people in here what credit cards did to them. You make the minimum payment, you'll be paying for that the rest of your life. You can buy a house faster than you can pay off a credit card. That thing is made to make the bank money. They're not doing you a favor extending you credit. So if I get a credit card, then I can get it and I can make minimum monthly payments and you'll never be able to pay it off. Save the money until you got the money and then pay for whatever it is you want. I'm just giving you financial advice. What does that do? When you go to work, you learn the value of sweat. You start equating things. When mom and daddy are giving you money all the time, when somebody else is raising you with a silver spoon in your mouth, you have no idea how much something costs. It's in terms of sweat, in terms of work, in terms of hours. If you're worth $10 an hour, you're worth $50 an hour, the principle is still the same. With every hour that passes by comes a numerical figure that's attached to that, and then before you go spend it, you're not spending the dollars, you're spending the hours it took to get that. That'll slow your spending down way down real fast. Well, you know, I'm thinking we ought to go out here to this dinner and go to this fancy place and all that kind of stuff. Wait till somebody gives you a gift card. When you start realizing you can sit down with your wife and in 2 hours' time you can spend 8 hours worth of work and 2 hours and watch that waitress walk off and you're going, man, that just cost me 2 days worth of work. That's 16 hours worth of work, man, to have dinner. We can go to McDonald's. Now, don't do that for your anniversary and don't do that for your birthdays. I mean, take them out to, you know, Burger King or something, but, you know, or the fish house or, you know, chicken place or the Sino cat. But upgrade a little bit. But what I'm saying is that when you're young, you're learning about the value of working. That's a biblical principle. Now, it's not political, but I'm going to say some things that are going to sound that way. You live in a nation now that is raised on entitlements. That means I don't have to work. The government is supposed to take care of me. Now, it's a trap because the borrower is always subject to the lender. And so they're giving you these things. So who do you think you're going to want to put in office except those that are giving you a cell phone and free medical attention and free food and free housing or subsidized housing? They're taking care of your basic needs plus giving you some perks along the way. While other individuals go out and work and have to pay for those things, you can sit on your blessed assurance, and I don't care what your color is. You can sit on your blessed, they just as many whites as there is blacks before you make it a racial thing. I can already read your cotton picking mind. Here's the thing. You're being taught something that is not biblical.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to give individuals that are disabled, they paid their price in war, they should be taken care of.
Amen.
If you want to take care of old people who have paid their price by working all their life and now they're unable to do so, they should be taken care of. If you have a widow, according to the Bible, that has lived right and done right and can no longer take care of herself, they should be taken care of. If you are able-bodied and could work, get off your blessed assurance and get a stinking job. You say, why? Do your fair share. You're not supposed to be taken care of. You're not entitled to anything except death and taxes. You know, well, I don't have to pay taxes. Everybody else pays taxes. Well, you're a freeloader. Now, that teaches you something that's not biblical. That teaches you that somebody else is there to take care of you instead of God provided for me a job so that I can take care of myself. So it instills in me a sense of an ability to depend on God to take care of me, and then other people can depend on me because of that. You don't have to worry about self-esteem issues. Why? I got a job. You don't have to worry about the value of money. What about your house? What about your car? Worked for it. How about you? Nobody gave it to me. Nobody gave it to you. I worked for it. Do you understand? You got to have it. This is not as enough. Well, you got plenty of money. You know, I don't know. You're sitting up there fat, dumb, and happy up there, you know. Oh, why can't you share it with me? Why don't you get off your back end and go to work? Pardon me. I'm about to get too crazy here. Listen. These old people that have something, they paid the price. It's time for you to go to work. You pay taxes for a while. Let the old people be took care of. They're the ones that ought to get the free medical attention. They're the ones that ought to be. You're veterans of these wars and these policemen that have been shot up and stuff. That's the people they've already sacrificed enough. You should take care of them. But if you're able-bodied, get off your blessed assurance and go to work. Get a job. Why? The Bible says to get a job. Teach you the value of money. It teach you the bank. Make you appreciate the fact when somebody gives you something, you start realizing, man, they sweated to give me that.
Right.
Amen. That don't mean you give them a t-shirt and they go, man, they sweated to give me that. Proverbs chapter number 13. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, you lived in a society that's not only full of entitlement, but they're full of get it the easy way. So you take hard-earned dollars, or here's a great one for you. If somebody hands you a bunch of money and sends you to Branson, Missouri, or sends you out off the coast into the Gulf Stream, they got all kind of ways of doing it because gambling's illegal here unless you vote it back in, and then they want you to have it around. And I can't even go into all the gambling stuff and what it leads to, but at any rate, they're giving you this money, a subsidy with your little card. You go get the money out of that, and then you go play scratch-off. Well, preacher, what's wrong with that? It's not your money in the first place, but in the second place, you know what you're saying? I ain't going to work for the money, but I don't mind somebody, you know, me risking something that I should be buying food with. I'm going to go ahead and put it on a scratch-off. Well, then starve. You're going to buy that stuff to go buy dope with. You're going to use that stuff to buy liquor with. You're going to use that stuff to buy cigarettes with. You're going to use that stuff to pay for your cable and to pay for luxuries in life. Starve to death then. Now, wait a minute, preacher. No, you wait a minute. I'm going to show you in a minute from the Bible what Paul says about that. You kids nowadays, you think, you know, if I don't have a cell phone and I don't have a certain kind of tennis shoes and I don't have a certain kind of name brand jean, whatever in the cat hair that is, I don't have a certain brand, name brand of this and that and the other, you're lucky you got a croaker sack on you. You know, well, I need a new pair of shoes. You ain't wore them out yet. Well, Daddy, you know, I've had them. I wear a size 12 now. They're size 6. Can I please, you know, maybe, you know, they don't fit. Well, I keep wearing them until you wear them out and then we'll see about it, you know. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You live in a society now where people are taught, well, let's get in on the lottery because it's good for education. No, it ain't. You hadn't studied where that money goes. Cost them more money to run it than it does goes to education. You know what they're doing? That develops off of greed. Have you ever wondered where the money comes from to pay those people all those millions of dollars? It comes from suckers buying that stuff in the hopes of getting rich. That money don't make money. They make money over you suckers, probably Christians in there, you know, buying them, you know, hoping that, you know, it's not on the camera and nobody's looking, you know. Pull the hat down and get the sunglasses on and... What numbers you playing? And the Lord hauls you up there one day, man, and you're up there, and the Lord's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Lord, I was going to give you 10%. If you'd have just given me what you spent on all them lottery tickets, we'd have been doing fine. Amen. Let me show you in the Bible. Proverbs 13, verse number 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. I lost my note. I had a thing on all the people that had won all the money and how many of them still have any of it. Do you know there's less than 10% of the people that win millions without working for it wind up with it? After less than 2 years' time, it's completely gone. 2 years, man, to spend millions of dollars. You say, why? They got no idea what money is. It's kind of like, I got an endless supply of money. And in 2 years, they've done gone through the whole thing. They got enough to last them a lifetime, and it's gone. How's that happen? Because they didn't learn the value of money and how to go, I better rat hole some of this away. My car ain't going to last forever. And guess what? I can't afford a multi-million dollar house, even though I can afford the payment on it. I can't afford the maintenance on it. Right. The bank tells you, no, you can afford 80%. Yeah, maybe in the bank's mind you can. You can't afford 80%. That leaves you 20% of your income to do everything else you need to. You're smoking crack. Somebody taught you wrong. I ain't got enough hours in a day to live off of 20%. And 80% go to a house? How do you do that? My wife and I, when we started a security apartment. Hey, I took advantage of it. I was a policeman. Somebody said, hey, we'll pay you, give you free room and board here if you'll take care of it. I didn't realize all the problems they were going to have there. You never get off. But if you take care of all that kind of stuff. So we didn't. All I had to do was pay for lights and electricity. He said, what do you think about that? We were a rat hole of money. We didn't take vacations and stuff. We saved. We put a down payment on a soda cracker box. Yeah, remember the days of the Brother Larry, some of you older ones remember them. Remember they had soda crackers. You bought them in tins. You don't remember that even, probably. You're on a whippersnapper. Brother Brad remembers. Little saltine cracker box. Nabisco, you remember that? I feel at home. Some of you people old enough to remember that. We bought a house about that big. I think it was about 1,000 square feet or something like that. Man, I mean, you'd run into each other trying to get around. But it was all right. We were in love, you know, and romance and all that other kind of stuff. We didn't mind bumping into each other every now and then. Oh, excuse me, honey. I'm so. Oh, it's okay, baby. Oh, yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. Anyway, and I mean, man, we're sweating it out. Boy, we're sweating it out every time to make that $400 or $500 a month payment. Man, I mean, oh, my goodness, man. I mean, that's like $5,000 a month. I mean, we make sure that's set aside and make sure how much it's going to cost us. She had it figured down to a fare thee well. I mean, this electric's going to cost this much. Water, God help you, if you water the lawn extra long, she'd be like, the water bill went up $25. That's a deal breaker, man. I mean, you're living on a stinking shoestring. I mean, we moved out of having everything paid for to, whoa, buy a car? You got to be kidding me. We're going to cut out a piece of tin, put it in the floorboard of that Volkswagen. We're going to keep driving it a while. Right. Amen. Well, you can see the road in it. Well, it beats the fire out of pedaling with it. At least the engine's still running. Amen. Somebody asked me at lunch today. They said, preacher, when you were around, is that like when y'all used to start the car by, you know, running like that? I said, no. We were just after that. We were still turning the hand crank in the front of them. I must be getting old and stuff like that. I'd never been happier the day they could have handed me the keys to a jalopy. I didn't care. When they handed me the keys to a car and said, you got a take-home car? I'm like, thank you. We'll take that. You say, well, you know, didn't you mind being stopped? Not at all, man. It was great. We finally had a new car in the household. Of course, it had blue lights and shields on it. But, you know, my poor daughter, she must have suffered, man. I took her to school. Daddy, can we take the other car? No, the gas is free in this one. You're going to school in this one. She's back there. It was pitiful. Trina Lynn said, honey, don't you know what that does to her? And I said, well, let her know. She don't want to ever get back there permanently, you know, and that kind of a thing. That poor kid, I feel so sorry for her now. I should have stuffed her in the front seat somewhere, you know, but she's like, get in the back, you know, boom, you know. And when you get there, she can't even let herself out. Dad, let me out. You going to be good today? You know? Open the door. Poor thing, embarrassed, slapped to death. But I'm talking about finances. You can't get an easy way out of it. You know what you have to learn to do? The Bible says work. Who would have thought in Christian character you're supposed to work? But you not only have to work at physical things, you got to work at spiritual things. It's not just handed to you. Salvation, handed to you, like that. I get tired of Christian mooches. How about you? I'm not missionaries, moochinaries. You know, been on deputation 10 years. I'm going to get there one day, preacher. I'm going to get there one day. In the meantime, I got 7 kids, and I got a trailer, and I got a boat behind the trailer, and I got all these kind of things, and I'm living off the brethren. But I'm going to get to the mission field one day. I'm sorry if I offended you. Tough apples. That individual has got to realize, you know something? I'm in the wrong profession. I'm in the wrong area here. I'm taking advantage of the brethren. I don't have much room for that. Go to work like the rest of us. Get out of Bible school. I'm called to the mission field. Okay, great, wonderful. Go get a job for a while. Work like normal people do, and the people you're going to go visit and the people you're going to go try to minister to. And then after that, go on your deputation, get your money, and head over there. What are you going to give them in the meantime? All the Bible that you know? You're going to be dealing with working people. You don't even know what it's like to work. You got out of high school, you went to Bible school, and now you're ready for the mission field. What do you know about life? You don't know nothing about life. You're going to be ministering to people with calluses on their hands. You're going to be ministering to people that don't have enough money to put food on the table and shoes on their feet. And you're going to go over there and tell them all about it. You don't know nothing about the value of money. You haven't sweated. You haven't worked. Yeah, you've been to Bible school. Praise the Lord. Get a job. Well, I'm a Christian, you know. Yeah, you're a Christian, so you ought to be out working everybody. Take your Bible. Amen. I amen it. If you don't, amen it. Look, if you will, please, in Proverbs 14, Proverbs chapter number 14. Look in verse number 23, 14:23. In all labor there is what? Profit. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Talk's cheap. But he says in all labor there's value. There's an equivalent to it. Labor sometimes may not be for dollar bills. Sometimes you learn things by laboring that dollar that you can't even pay for. The labor will wind up telling you a lot about your character. Amen. Are you willing to work? Well, I ain't going to work. Somebody told me the other day, not long ago, Acts chapter number 20, told me the other day, he said, preacher, you know, I've been looking for a job. I said, well, brother, you've been looking for a job for a while now, hadn't you? Yeah, I've been looking for a while. And I said, well, what's the problem with getting a job? Well, there ain't no jobs. I said, there's not no jobs. He said, no, there ain't no jobs. I said, I bet you I can get you a job in 24 hours.
Amen.
He goes, well, I don't mean that kind of job. I said, oh, okay, so it's not that there's not any jobs. It's that you're not hungry enough yet to do something you don't want to do until something comes along that you're maybe better at suited to do. In the old days, they would say, you're afraid to get your hands dirty. You know why you're afraid to get your hands dirty? Because you think you're better than that. You ain't hungry. It's like when I'm in the Philippines, when that guy asked me and Brother Jim, we're sitting there getting done with the meat, and there hotter blazes outside and 100% humidity, and we're sweating there and thinking about where we're going to grab something to eat. And he just asked us, a little bitty fellow there, a little fellow, he walks up and he says, so do you eat the rat? I don't know how they talk. It's a different accent. It all sounds like Romanian to me, I guess. But do you eat the rat? I said, no, you mean rat, like run across the ground, like rats and cheese, like, you know, slam down on them with the deal. And he said, yeah, rat. Do you eat the rat? And I said, no, we don't eat rats. Who would eat rats? And he said, oh, I guess you've never been hungry. I mean, just like that, boy, I mean, hit me right in the head between the eyes. Well, that's when it comes to Christians, you know, not working. Oh, you're just not hungry enough yet. Lady came one day, this is back years ago when I was still downtown. She came in and she said, I hear you're a preacher. I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, could I ask you a question? Sure, this is a private thing. And I said, okay, well, you can leave the door cracked, but you can come on in if it's private. She came in, she sat down, and one of the secretaries there, and she said, I need help. And I said, okay, what do you need help with? She said, well, my son needs some financial assistance. I said, okay, what's the problem? She said, well, you know, and she went through all these things, and he needs to be able to have cable at house because he's... I said, excuse me? She said, well, I don't get home until later, and he needs to have cable when he gets home from school. See, I'm in a box now because I'm the Christian. I'm the that's the setup. I'm the preacher. I'm the pastor. I'm the loving, caring, kind. I'm coming to you to, you know, go make me the bad guy, you know, because it's her son that needs to be able to watch cable when he gets home from school. Poor little indigent fellow is not going to be mistreated because he doesn't have cable to look at. And so I said, well, could I ask you a couple of questions if you want my folks to invest in you? I can ask you. She said, sure. And I said, well, you obviously already have cable. Well, no, it's been turned off. I need to get it turned back on. I said, okay. I said, you smoke cigarettes? I don't care if you smoke. Really, I don't. But you want your son to have cable? Now see how you just took that? Well, now, preacher, cigarettes aren't. She can't eat them. They ain't going to prolong her life. Don't put that on me. You're making me out the bad guy. I ain't even done yet. I said, ma'am, you get a newspaper? This is back in the days. This is before you got newspaper on the button thing, you know, where you hit a button and there's the newspaper, whatever you want to look at, New York Times, Washington Post, you know, all the other ones that are out there, Wall Street Journal or whatever. None of that stuff. And Times Onion was the only thing that was out there in those days. And so I said, you get a newspaper? Well, yeah, what does that matter? And I said, well, I'm not done. Just want to ask you a couple more questions. I said, you buy cookies and cake and ice cream? She said, I can't believe what they say about you is true. Oh, you were going to change your opinion of me if I gave you the money to turn on your cable? I ain't doing it. The people that give to this church, they do all they can. They're sacrificing their hard-earned money to try to put missionaries on the field and take care of expenses around the church and stuff like the Bible tells them they're to do and do the things they're supposed to do. You think I'm going to give you that money when you got all the luxuries in life that they're doing without so they can do something for the Lord, and I'm going to give it to you so your stinking little brat can have cable? I'll go talk to somebody else, and I don't feel bad about it. I didn't say there was a thing wrong with you having cable or with you doing anything else that I mentioned there. I don't care if you eat sweets till the cows come home. Eat them, enjoy them, and die soon if that's what you want to do. At least you'll die happy. Or not. But, well, preacher, you know, what do you think? I think that she hadn't been taught the value of a dollar. Your priorities are out of line. You think sweets are, I mean, you think they're necessary for you to have? I mean, she didn't keep on. I shouldn't have done it. I was thinking it, though. If she'd have asked me, I'd have said, well, ma'am, probably wouldn't hurt you to knock off them sweets for a little while. Why did he go there? I'm just saying, she's the one pushing the buttons. Why am I the bad guy?
That's right.
Oh, what they said about you is true. Oh, okay. Have a nice day. Acts chapter 20, verse number 34. Let me hurry. I jest. I'm not hurrying. Verse 34. 20:34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now that's the hands, that's Paul talking, and he says, listen, I've taught you some things, and there's some things that you need to know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Preacher, what are you talking about? Let him that stole steal no more. You ever stole any time from your boss? You ever stole any time from your boss? You ever stole anything from your investors by telling them something's true when it ain't? Quiet there. You ever sold a car and told them, you know, it's low mileage because you turned the odometer back? All kind of ways to steal. All kind of ways to steal. You tell your boss, you know, I'm going to take a short break right here. I hadn't had my break today and so on and so forth. You ain't hit a lick of snake since you got there, but it's time for you to get your union coffee break. So you take your coffee break and you're over there making phone calls. You ever stole it? I did this on the plane last night. They're sitting there waiting for to pass out all the stuff they do and peanuts and pretzels or whatever they're handing out there in the middle of the stinking night and, you know, walking through there and doing this stuff. And he's over there. Ding! Lady behind me. That guy's not being paid to text.
Amen.
Now, whether you like it or not, he's supposed to be taking care of the passengers who paid big money for the plane ticket.
Right.
Now, some of you are looking at me like I've lost my mind. If you were the one sitting there and you danged it and he was sitting there playing on his telephone, you'd have been mad as a hornet. But you've gotten that way sometimes, don't you? When you're at work and you're supposed to be working for your boss and you just take the time to return a text, return an email, to make a phone call. I mean, what's the big deal, right? All kind of ways to steal. Let him that stole steal no more.
Amen.
1 hour lunch. Stretch into hour and 10, hour and 15, hour and 20. Well, it's no big deal, preacher. I mean, you know, well, I agree with you. It's no big deal once every now and then. But you add that up over a period of 5 days. And then add that up over a period of month. You know what the problem is? You haven't owned a business. You don't realize 15 minutes equates to a bunch. You're paying a guy $30 an hour. 15 minutes is a lot of money.
Amen.
And you know what you're doing? You're putting money in your pocket you didn't earn. Let him that stole steal no more. You're a Christian, are you? Is your employer getting his investment out of you? I'm just asking, yeah, I don't know if he is or not. The preacher, they're not paying me, well, that's the way I get my money. Okay, it's what you agreed to. If you don't like it, quit and go somewhere else.
Amen.
They only pay me $10 an hour. Only $10 an hour. I started working, it was $1.25 an hour. Now, it sounds funny now. Back years ago, people were thinking, well, what's the big deal? $1.25, that's pretty good money. Now I say $1.25, and people are like, were there still like dinosaurs there? What, $1.25? You got to be kidding. I was still back around. I don't remember. Some of you fellows would remember. I do remember quarter gasoline. Quarter gasoline. I remember that. I remember getting 4 gallons for $1. I can remember that. I remember them coming in there and saying, fill it up and give you less than $5 and fill up their gas tank. I pumped gas when I was 13. I'm not, you know, when I walked uphill all the way in a snowstorm with holes in my shoes. I'm not telling you that. I'm just trying to put it all in perspective to you. Nowadays, well, they're only going to pay $10 an hour. $10 an hour? Well, that's pretty decent money.
Amen.
Unless you think you can live higher than you should be living.
Amen.
Hey, kid, can I tell you something? You're not going to live like a 60-something-year-old man lives after I've done work 2 lifetimes, and you ain't going to live that way at 30. You ain't going to live like these old birds around here that have been around a while. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have to make your own mark and earn your own living. A lot of these old fellows around here had wives that worked as much as they did. I mean, worked an entire career. Some of them are still working. And some of you are just lazy. Da 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 da. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Look, if you will, please, verse number 10. Now, I was giving you the progression of things here about how you're supposed to do things, and God comes first, and then the brethren come next, and now we're going to talk about the individuals outside of that. Verse 10, and indeed ye do it toward all brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet. And that ye study to be quiet. And to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that you may have lack of nothing. So it provides for you, but you know what he tells you right there? He says, work with your own hands. Make your own living. Stop living off of somebody else. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, am I in the passage? We're right there in Ephesians, right? Let him that stole steal no more, but let him do what? Work, labor with his own mitts, his own paws. Make a living. I'll say this at the risk of most likely offending somebody. Most individuals that work hard for a living are more stable in every part of their life than people that don't work. They don't have the time to worry and sweat and get all bothered by things going on. They're too busy working. Your mind's on your own business. What everybody else is doing, you ain't got time to look at it. You know, what do you think about so-and-so's kids? I don't know, I'm trying to raise mine. You want me to think about it? Take them off my hand for a few days, and I'll think all about it. But right now, I ain't got time. Amen. That's it. That'll preach. Some of the women are like, yeah, that sounds good to me. Start a school at Bible Believers Baptist so we can dump them off. Y'all take care of them. I'll pay for that. You're going to pay for it too, I tell you that. You know how much the tuition is for school over there? Do you know what your kids are? God bless your hearts. I'm talking about the little ones from birth to about six. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Getting kind of... Make it 10. 2 Thessalonians 3, make it 10. This is the Apostle Paul here. And he's telling them some things. Well, pick it up in 6. Now we command you, brethren. Command you, brethren. We command. How dare Paul command? Who does Paul think he is? He's a preacher. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. He's going to tell you what the tradition is in just a second. You ready? Watch. For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught. We wrought with labor, and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul's saying, I earn my way here. I'm not just here flapping my gums. And even when we were all with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he, what?
Eat.
Well, how about that?
Amen.
Peacock for president.
Amen.
What's the first thing he'll do? I cut the national deficit in half. How? I cut off all entitlement programs.
Amen.
All of them, unless you're in one of the categories I put before. You want a job, we'll give you a job. You say, doing what? Our streets got potholes they need fixing. $10 an hour. Any takers?
Yeah.
No. We're not about to... Okay. Starve.
Amen.
No, I'm going to go down and get... No, you ain't. We're putting a lock on them and a guard by it. You ain't going to eat if you don't work.
Right.
You say, why? Trying to teach you something.
Amen.
And we're turning off your cell phone. And you want medical coverage unless it's an emergency, you ain't getting it. Why? You didn't pay for it.
Amen.
It wouldn't take long for the treasury to raise up. That's the oddest thing in the world. You've collected more money in taxes during this past year than you've collected, and I don't know how long the IRS has been taking them, and you're further in debt than you've ever been. Where's all the money going? I call for a congressional investigation. Boy, that's the fox in the hen house, man. Investigate yourself. Oh, we don't see any wrong. I have done nothing wrong. whatever. Don't you like Sunday nights? Notice Paul's given a command here, ladies and gentlemen. Notice that the Apostle Paul is clearly saying to him, hey, listen, there's some things you're supposed to be doing, and there's some consequences if you don't. If you're not going to work, you ain't going to eat. So he's not saying you're not going to have television and a car and fancy clothes. He's breaking it down to the absolute essentials. You ain't working, we ain't feeding you. Look in verses 11. For we hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all. What happens to them? Well, look what shows up. They got too much time on their hands. So he's teaching you a principle that, hey, you ain't working. Why? It gives you time to talk about everybody else working. I ain't even getting into busybodies, not right now. Now them that are such, verse 12, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that's pretty strong, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread.
Amen.
Not your bread.
Amen.
Bread, man, dough. Greenbacks, even if they are a little worn. With tape on them. They eat their own. And we get to the stuff of taking care of others and taking care of people, the right kind of thing. But you can take care of people sometimes when God's saying, you take care of them. I'm trying to use that to teach them a lesson. Teach them to work. Break their pride. Humble them. Ask somebody for a job. And that's hard to do, isn't it? You get hungry enough, you will. The Lord's using hunger for food. Not what you've got nowadays. The United States of America is one of the few countries around that continues to do that kind of stuff. Look, if you will, let's see, verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man. You have a Bible there?
Amen.
Preacher, you know, if they're fornicators, you know, and they're, what if they're lazy bums?
Right.
He's talking about brothers in Christ. You know what he just said to you? Note them, and what does he say? Can you read it? Because by you not having company with him, it's for his benefit. Why? That he would be you go to a restaurant, I mean, you can pick up the tab every now and then. But if you're picking up the tab all the time, every time you turn around, you're going to start looking across the table and say, hey, man, you know what? Every now and then, you've seen that commercial, you know, where they comes time for the bill to come out, and the guy says, I got it. I got it. No, really, I got it. Yeah, like a Baptist preacher, you know, expecting everybody to always pay for everything. And then they're like, well, I really tried. And everybody at the table's going, yeah, whatever. Well, if they don't work, they're not to eat. What if you cut off everybody that never put a dime in an offering plate and because they won't pay for lights and electricity and water and all the other stuff? What if you said you don't work, you don't eat? You ever wonder sometimes you don't get fed because you haven't paid for anything? That's just a thought. The principle applies everywhere else. I went to a restaurant today. They give you a bill, and at the side of the thing, I mean, at the a menu on the side of the thing, it has the prices of the food. Well, why are you doing that? I just want to eat. Because it costs you to eat here. If you don't want to eat here, don't eat here. But if you're going to eat here, you're going to pay. No, not at the hospital. No, somebody else is going to pay your bill. I ain't paying for a cell phone. Somebody else going to pay it. I ain't paying taxes. Somebody else going to pay it. But you're not a biblical Christian. Now, if you're disabled, there's an allowance for you. Sure. If you're physically or mentally disabled, there's allowance for you. If you're an old people, there's an allowance for you. If you're a widow, there's an allowance for you. There's all kind of allowances. God's not just saying, hey, man, you know, like Hitler, you come in here and everybody can't work. You just go ahead and kill them, put them to bed with a shovel. That's not what he's saying at all. He's trying to teach you a principle. When people get old, you're supposed to take care of them. That's the right thing to do.
Amen.
When people have paid the price to go out and do something and they get disabled, you're supposed to take care of them. But ladies and gentlemen, some of you are capable and able-bodied and you won't even take care of yourself.
Right.
And you're the ones that are always complaining about, well, they got one of them big jobs over there. You know, they don't ever have to work. They just make all that money. Hey, it ain't their fault. They got a little education and got smart enough to get a job that pays them, stupid.
Amen.
Why are you throwing off on them?
Amen.
Better yourself.
Amen.
Or be happy doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Why you always got to be cutting people down and make more money than you do? You got the same chance.
That's right.
Yep.
Yes,
go to school. I get a thing and it says, if you want this job, you have to have the following things. How can I dare apply for the job if I don't have the requirements?
Amen.
Rocket scientist. Okay, disqualified. You're not going to make that one. Okay, well, you want to have something in finance. You need an MBA in finance. Okay, go to school and get a master's in finance. And then apply for the job. You want to be a lawyer? Go to cotton picking school.
Amen.
You people, you're worse than jailhouse lawyers. You're like that with medical stuff. You WebMD it and you look up there and stuff, or you do when it comes to law school and legal stuff, you go read what some jackleg that couldn't get a license put out there. Some. And then, you know, you're going to give legal advice. We had a guy here one time, you know, he'd be willing to draw up legal documents for you. I said, are you a lawyer? He said, no. I said, well, how you doing? He said, well, you know, I go here and I go. I said, brother, can't you get in trouble for that? He goes,
Well, you know, I mean, they still have to check it out, but there's nothing in the Constitution that doesn't say that you can't do your own legal work. And I said, well, I wouldn't have you represent me, brother. I want somebody that knows the law or knows the judge or something. If you don't know the law, do you know the judge? If you don't know neither, I don't want you representing me. I don't know what that stuff is. You know, you get people that get to thinking about that, and they're not willing to pay the price. And here's the thing. They always throw off on all the people that did it. But they're not willing to pay the price to do it themselves. Now, I hear people talk about people that own businesses all the time. They never owned a business. They have no concept of what they're dealing with. Well, go get your own business. Nothing stop you. Here's your good one. Go get you a... I want to be my own boss. Get you a lawnmower and a broom and have at it. And within the period of about a month, you'll have about 30 bosses. And they'll tell you exactly how they want it cut and exactly how they want it done. And if you don't do it that way, they'll fire you. I'm my own boss. Yeah, and make sure you pay your workman's comp insurance and your liability insurance or they won't let you own the property. And make sure you pay your self-employment tax. And make sure you now have your matching FICA. Make sure you also are willing to offer, if you have more than 3 employees, that you have to offer them now insurance through your company and be willing to pay for your portion of their insurance. You want to have a business? Have at it. Until then, you better be glad you're working for somebody that has to bear that burden. You don't have to market the business. You just go to work and support what they're doing. You better thank God for it. I don't care if you're working at Walmart. We ain't all in Walmarts. Hey, don't work for them. Otherwise, appreciate the benefits. No, well, I wouldn't be a school teacher. No, you wouldn't be a school teacher. You don't have the courage to go to school long enough to learn anything to teach anybody anything. But you sure don't have a problem. You say, why are you saying this? Right before it and right after it has something to do with communication. And the Lord knows how you are when it comes to somebody who has a job making more money than you do. And that's why he says evil communications. Because he knows how you are. You think it's a status symbol. Well, apply yourself. We're not communist. The Lord says the poor you always have among you. Why? He knows human nature. You want to have something? Work for it. Earn it. It'll do your self-esteem a whole lot better. You know, self-esteem? Good. If all else fails, join the military. Even in the state it's in now, beats the fire out of collecting welfare. I got to say something about the World War II generation, and I don't particularly care for their arrogance and stuff like that, but one thing about them is they weren't big on taking handouts. They were real proud about that stuff. They'd go to work shoveling slop before they would wind up taking money for nothing. Even during the Depression, they felt funny about standing in soup lines and things like that after they lost their shirt. And nowadays, it's kind of like, soup's all we got? You just serving soup? Yeah, I'm fixing to serve you, and you're going to have nothing but to be able to eat nothing but soup because you're going to have no teeth to chew with in a minute. Your country is morally bankrupt, but it is also immobilely lazy. Now, tell me the Bible's not up to date.
Amen.
You know what the Lord just said? If they don't work, let them starve. What a way to talk, man. But you know what he's assuming? Well, if you get hungry, you'll eat. Go to work so you can eat. So, go to work. All right. Stand together, we'll be dismissed.